have to affect eternity, all right? The souls of men are very important. I'm very happy for that. That's the kind of testimony I like. I like every testimony, but that one, oh my God, is massive. Can we put our hands together again for Jesus? That is good. That is good. Amen. John chapter 6. I want to finish the thought we started last week. I really intended to finish it last week, but somehow I think I got stuck somewhere in a good way. Let's clean it up today. We're looking at what you can call, why are these? What are these among so many? And last week now looked like as if the title of the message was "Give them something to eat." Say, "I have something." Oh, say, "I have something for my world." Say, "I'm loaded. I'm not empty." Never forget that. Never forget that. Never forget that. Because it is the forgetting of that that makes many people get into all kinds of things. Always remember that. And that because you have something, God also requires that you come to the table. It will not only take God. In fact, any faith that puts out the responsibility of God, that faith is an irresponsible faith. If you think God alone will, you are not serious. God alone won't. He can, he is able, but only him will not. If you don't show up, if you don't read for exam, no matter how you pray, you know we like to pray in this place, but no matter how you pray, your prayer will only make sure that you show up at that exam, and then your failure will be very solid. Amen? And then the prayer, what it will just do for you is that, you know, God is the God of all comfort. You'll be comforted and held, encouraged that you can do it again. But the prayer will not mean that God will now come. And, you know, some people have heard testimony that I was writing. And another, after I submitted my script, another hand now began to write. In fact, I didn't put anything on my script. It's as if another hand wrote. Okay. Okay. And it's not that sometimes some of those things don't happen. And the reason it happens is not because somebody was careless. It's not because somebody was irresponsible. Maybe after all they have done, they couldn't still catch up. Then maybe God will now step in. But to now think that one imaginary hand will write for you, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, will comfort you in the name of Jesus. All right, so let's go back to that book of John chapter 6. Let me move quickly now. John chapter 6. From verse 1 to 14, and Luke chapter 9, verse 13. The same story is told in Luke and John. I just wanted to add the 13 of Luke to this story. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which was the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Verse 4. And now the Passover, a feast of the Jew, was near. And verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what to do. My biggest part of my discussion is that verse 6 today. He himself knew what to do. So if you want to tie to this second part, if you call the first one, this why, what are these among so many, if you call that first message, give them something to eat, this one will be, he knows what to do. He knows what to do. Verse 7. Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are these among so many? Or what are they among so many? Then verse 10 says, then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. Verse 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. Verse 12. So when they were filled, he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. 13. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And verse 14, the final verse in this part of the scripture. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, they said, this is truly the prophet who comes into the world. Can I prophesy to somebody? This month, they will see the sign that Jesus is with you in the name of Jesus. In fact, you are the sign and wonder in the name of Jesus. Luke chapter 9 and verse 13, the second text, which is also a similar story, or the same story, but told by two different people. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all of these people. What are these among so many? And then in verse 6 of that scripture, the Bible says, and Jesus, he knew what to do. Jesus knows what to do. There are qualities of God that Jesus shares. And some of these qualities, men, even though through redemption we have been grafted into the beloved, and as he is, so are we on earth. There are some of these qualities that we don't share and we will not even share. And part of it is just in the wisdom of God so that we don't share them. One of that quality is the omnipotency of God. God is omnipotent. God is omnipotent. To be omni means all, and potent is power. That means God is all powerful. God has all the power. We have authority from his power. So authority can stand on power, and sometimes authority can be bigger than power. There are some elected people that people that are not elected seem to be powerful, even sometimes more than them. Some people already see where I'm going with that. Two fighting. In one house. Let me just leave it like that. Or on social media. One was elected, the other has authority from the elected. And sometimes the elected, the one that has authority, seemingly is more powerful. Or, is making things happen. It wasn't even, they didn't even send him to Senate confirmation. That's to show you the beauty of authority. That's why every time you are authorized to do something, go in the power of that authority. For example, if we tell you, even in church, as church leadership, and say, go and do that, you have authority. There is a backing. For example, every day that I stand in this place, don't you ever think that I'm only standing by myself. I am standing in the authority of our general overseer. And whatever you see that can happen with him is able to happen here. Because I was sent. I didn't show up here myself. Somebody sent me. So if you have that concept of authority, for example, in the next few days, we are going to be going out. If I go out and I meet somebody that needs help, what do I say to them? What do I do with them? Just do what you were told to do, because you were sent. There is something about authority that makes a difference. You understand? But one thing that I want you to know this morning is that God is omnipotent, and power is important. Power is very, very important. In Psalm 62, verse 11. Psalm 62, verse 11. The Bible says, God has spoken one. He said, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. Why do I need to hear it twice? Why is it emphasized? Because in this earth, you need power. Power is necessary. There are many people, they have promise. The reason the promise has not turned to performance
is because there is no power. There is need for power, my brothers. There is need for power, my sisters. Power is not something that was only useful when they were writing the Bible. It still takes power to make things happen. Do you know there is power for parenting? Do you know there is power to be an employee? Do you know there is power to serve God? Do you know there is power to do anything that you are called to do? Because even science tells us that power is the ability to do work. So if you want to do work, you need power. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, the Bible says, "You will remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth." There is a power to get wealth. There is a power to get wealth. Because it is possible to show up, and if there is no power to get, you will be available, you will be working, but the work will not be like the labor. Have you seen labors that are not commensurate to output? Because sometimes some people say, the person is working. It's not how much he's working. It's what is on him. Is there a power to get well? I want to put that power on somebody this morning. I decree and declare wherever you are sitting down right now that there is the power to get wealth. In the name of Jesus. It is bigger than your job. It is even bigger than your degree. You know, sometimes one of the greatest challenges that many people have is the delusion of the degree they carry, the paper, you know, this thing you went to study in school. I am a medical doctor. Praise God for your life. Praise God for your life. There are some people that are not medical doctors, or they don't have so much of that degree, or they didn't spend so much time in school. And we don't have a problem with you spending time in school. But we are telling you that there is something that can come on you, that even your degree, something will come upon it such that it will be more useful. That is why, no matter the level that you are, if you can get this power, even as a student, you can begin to get wealth. I don't know why I've been saying this again and again. Maybe some students need to hear it, because some people are already postponing the day that things will begin to happen to some days in the future. When I get my first job, praise God, you are going to get that first job, but you don't need to wait for that, because there is power to get. There is power to get. And where you are now, God can make that power to work. You can be a student and live beyond every other student, because there is a power. There is something about power. It distinguishes men. When power comes, it distinguishes men. When there is argument, when people are saying when, how, you know, all kinds of these things, just introduce power. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Acts chapter 1 verse 8, they started to ask Jesus before you go to verse 8, maybe like verse 5. They were like, when are you going to restore the kingdom? When is this going to happen? When are we supposed to wait for another president? Like some people are looking for time now, waiting for one president or the other. And Jesus said, it's not about time. Leave time alone. But you shall receive power. When there is power available, you are able to do things, whether it is time or not time. And I'm going to release that power upon you. So there is a dimension of fulfillment in life and destiny that requires that power be made available. In Psalm 66 verse 3, I like this scripture, I think we should read it. Psalm 66 verse 3, it says, "You, O Lord, true." Psalm 66 verse 3. I want to read it, not quote it. It says, "Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit." Through the greatness of power. So it doesn't matter how seemingly powerful that situation is, you can bring a bigger power, because there is a power that is very, very great. And there are dimensions to it. It can increase. You can source more of it. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. So God is omnipotent. God is all powerful. God is all powerful. And he owns that power in your advantage. He owns that power in your favor. That is why one of the things that a child of God can do is to be a priest. Is to be a priest. To learn the act of priesthood. To learn the act of standing before God so that you can represent men. You represent God. You represent men to God. And you represent God to men. You know, if you practice that, and usually that is in the place of the word and prayer, you know, when you learn to do that, what you are doing to yourself is that you are making the availability. You are clearing the road. You are making it possible for God himself to come and tabernacle so that power will be released. Because through the greatness of your power, your enemies can submit. That's why God could tell David that, I can set a table in the most unlikely places. Some people think it is the absence of enemy that will make their life good. No. God said, look, it is possible I won't kill the enemies. It is possible I won't even do anything. They won't be dead. They will be looking at you, but you will look like you are in a show glass. You will look like you are untouchable. They will see you. They can almost feel you, but they cannot touch you. Because through the greatness of your power, your enemies will be bowing. They will submit themselves to you. Can I prophesy to somebody? There is a greater power coming upon you. Everything that molested you will now bow to you. Every insult will come down bowing to you in the name of Jesus. God is omnipotent. Another thing you need to know about God is that God is omnipresent. God is omnipresent. Now, all this information is very, very important. Very important, because there are days that you will need to remember this, that God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. God can be everywhere. God is everywhere and God can be everywhere. I don't do the same statement, no. God is everywhere in a passive way, but God can be everywhere in an active way. God is everywhere in a passive way. For example, God is in hell. You know that there is nowhere God is not. But God is not active there. God is in heaven, God is in hell. Don't you think that one place is more alive there than in another place? God is everywhere. It's a consciousness that will change many things. Sometimes when you are in a place and things are tough there, and there is nobody to call, you just remember God is there. I was listening to a song this morning, and I never even knew what the meaning of the song was. But I saw the lyrics this morning, and the lyrics meant that I'm not alone. Jesus is with me. Oh my God. That changes everything. It changes everything that I am not alone. I'm not just walking life alone. Sometimes some of us, we feel like everything, nobody is for me. No, I'm alone. I want you to understand, if the consciousness of God is with me, it dawns on you, and you carry that about, it's going to change everything. That I'm not alone. That I carry God. That God is here. That when I'm in the office, God is there. That when I'm at home, God is there. That when I'm lonely, I am not alone. It is possible to be lonely and not be alone. If you are single in this room, there's no guy, there's no girl, that's lonely, so to say. But you are not alone. If you are alone and you get married because you thought that being lonely means that being lonely means that you're alone, if you get married, you can still be alone. There are many alone or even lonely married people who are living as roommates. I was hearing a story yesterday that some part of the world, that people, in fact, they've taken it to another dimension. They won't marry for many years, and they will have 4 or 5 kids together. And some people will now marry. After the marriage, they will divorce sometimes down the line, and they will still be living in the same house as friends. And there are some people, they won't even divorce or anything, but they will still be lonely. Anybody that doesn't have God in his boat is lonely. All right? God is everywhere. God is omnipresent. But God can be manifestedly everywhere. Everywhere. I like what Psalm 46 verse 1 says. Verse 1 to 3. Psalm 46 verse 1 to 3. It says, God is our refuge, a very present help in time of need. He says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. What does that mean? He's always available. God is the uninterrupted help supply. You might have heard of uninterrupted power supply. But God, yes, is also uninterrupted power supply and is uninterrupted help supply. Is the help before 911. Is the help that even the thought of the name of Jesus. You heard the choir sing it. They said something happens when we mention the name. There is something special. There is freedom that can happen. I can mention the name of Jesus and bam.
A full sentence will enter into that name somehow. Just because I'm thinking of help in a particular dimension. I just shout, Jesus. I have found people, they have been in an accident, and they wanted to say something like this. Lord, please let this car stop. Lord, please let no car from behind come and hit me. Lord, please let this car not stumble. So they have five sentences to say, but they didn't have time to say five sentences. But the ever-present help, the one who is always available, and the one who is already there watching you in that situation, is able to decipher or able to know that when you say Jesus, you mean seven things. So when you shout Jesus, sometimes you may not need to say more things. Like I've said before, Jesus is a complete sentence. I can shout Jesus and it means a complete sentence. It's not just a name, it's a full sentence. If I say Jesus when I'm showing up in a place where I can't talk too much or I don't have time to say anything, the ever presentness help of God will find expression. I don't know if anybody wants to shout Jesus this morning. Will you make it a loud one? Jesus! Ever present help. Ever present help. Ever. He's always there. He's always near. And there is something you can do for him to be more and more present. I'll get to it shortly in this my discussion. For him to manifest himself more. He's everywhere, but he's not showing himself everywhere the same way. But you can build a consciousness of him. You can create more and more consciousness of him. Because the truth of the matter is that the reason why God seemingly is absent in many places is because of consciousness. People are not conscious. There is the, in fact, one of the things we do in the place of preaching is to bring your consciousness to a particular thing. It's just to make your consciousness to be alive there, you know. And so the more conscious of his presence you have, the more he will show himself, the more he will manifest himself. Some people are more conscious of the devil more than they are of God. They are more conscious of what is happening against them. They are more conscious of the things that is for against them. They are like the servant of Elisha. When he saw the host of the army, the enemy army, they didn't see the host of heavenly army. Let me say this to you. It was 1/3 of angels that fell with the devil. That means God still has 2/3 on his own side. So for every demon that is troubling you, there is 2 other angels that can fight them. And one angel is able to scatter one or a host of demons. So how much more? 2 times. So you have to have that consciousness. You have to have that, the reality that I am not alone. I am not walking alone. Sometimes some people are saying, why do you do some things at night? Some years ago, maybe not too long ago, somebody heard that I come to this place alone at night. Like, what? I know that I don't walk alone. I know that I carry company with me. If you see me and think I'm the only one you saw, you didn't see well. Look again. We are many. It's not only that man that was with demons that can say we are many. We too, we can say we are many. Sometimes my wife will say, why are you using we for yourself? Only you. Because we are we. We are we. It's not only me. There are many of us. When you see Emmanuel, don't be confused. It's more than him. There are we. We are we. We work as a we. It's a company. And they cannot pull us down. We are we. Sometimes they ask you, how many of you? We are many. We are many. So people say, it's demons that say that. You are bigger than them because we are 2 times over them. At the minimum, it was 1/3. And I have a sense that even after the devil left, some angels joined. Hey! Don't quote me on that one, but just hold it like that. God is omnipotent. God is omnipresent. I think we should read this scripture. Ezekiel chapter 48, verse 35. Ezekiel 48, 35. Ezekiel 48, 35. I'm not alone. God is with me. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. We are not alone. God is with us, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. You need to have that consciousness. When you go out in the morning, I'm not alone.
I'm not alone. God is with me. And if God, because there are different dimensions of God showing himself. The Bible says in Romans 8:37, if God be for us, that's a dimension. But if God be in us, it's even greater than if God be for us. If God be with us, if the word has become flesh, if I carry God, it's way bigger than that. Ezekiel 48 and 35. The Bible says, all the way around shall be 18,000 cubits. And the name of the city from that day shall be called The Lord is There. Can I speak over the month of June? That the name of the month of June shall be called The Lord is There. The name of your house shall be called The Lord is There. In your marriage, The Lord is there. In your finance, The Lord is there. In your business, The Lord is there. That word is called Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. My son is going to school. I put Jehovah Shammah on him. The Lord is there. I may not be there, but the Lord is there. I can put the name of the Lord on him. He will go to places and the things that rub off on other people will just fall off on him. As he's getting there, there is a cocoon. There is a bubble. There is something built around him. A hedge. As far back as in the day of Job, hedges were built around people. How much more in the New Testament when we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, and we have all kinds of engagements in that Mount Zion. There is a hedge around me. Why? The Lord is there. I carry Jehovah Shammah. So when I get into a place, I brought my climate. I brought my atmosphere. The atmosphere I met there is not enough. I have brought my atmosphere. And my atmosphere is not going to read what is happening there. It's going to change it. It is a thermostat. It's not a thermometer. It gets there. It changes the configuration. I get to work. I brought my atmosphere. The Lord is here. The Lord is there. I get home. I brought my atmosphere. They were crying there. But I came because I brought joy. Be conscious of this, you know. Be conscious because life flows in the direction of consciousness. Virtue of God flows in the direction of consciousness. The more conscious I am, the more I will see the manifestation. If I am ignorant or unconscious of it, I won't see the manifestation. The more conscious, the more I put it ahead, the more I remember it, the more I don't forget it, the more I will see it show up. And that's why the devil, one of the things he likes to do is to make you not be conscious of it. Just to make you not be conscious of it. But this morning, I want you to be conscious. God is omni what? Potent. God is what? Omnipresent. Always there. Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah. And for the benefit of our discussion this morning, there's another attribute of God, which is that God is omniscient. Some people say omniscience. Sila. Omniscient. He knows. He knows all things. Excuse me, sir. AI knows everything. No, sir. He doesn't. But our God is omniscient. Our God. And in the days to come, you need to relate to God on this dimension. Because some people are already scared now. AI is going to take my job. But if Jehovah Shammah is there, the God who knows all things, I can have an edge. I can have an advantage over AI. I can have an advantage. They can gather many people, including computers. I can have an advantage. I have heard people say AI is going to take their job. Even some people, some pastors say, this is coming AI. I say, no, AI cannot take my job. Because there is a spirit in man that is greater than the electronic in a computer. No matter how many computers there are, there is a spirit in man. There is something that God knows that I can access because I serve an omniscient God. Be conscious of this. Be conscious of this. That I serve an all-knowing God. A God that knows. He knows what to know. He knows who to know. He knows the beginning before the beginning. He knows the end before the end. And he planned all of them together. There's a God that knows. Omniscient God. In that John chapter 6 verse 6, the Bible says, Jesus knew what to do. Jesus always knows what to do. But in this scripture, he just wanted us to understand that the dynamics of this miracle is that there was someone that knew what to do there. And I want to let you know, Jesus knows what to do. Oh, are you waiting for something? Jesus knows what to do. He knows how to solve it. He has more than one way. In fact, he is the way. He knows what to do. So every time you come, even if you are confused, at least have this consciousness. He knows what to do. My God knows what to do. My God is leading me, and he knows the way. If you are following a good map, you are secure. Now, if you are following the one that developed the map, because he knows the neighborhood, you are way more secured. And I'm telling you, he's the one that made the earth. He says the heavens and the earth, he made them. He knows where everything is. There are some things the devil does not know. As much as he does all this, you know, braggado. He doesn't know everything. He doesn't. And in fact, you are the one sometimes that informs the devil. He uses your data set. Some of the things you say, you are so talkative. The one that you should not say. There is a time to speak. There is a time to refrain from speaking. Many things the devil knows today, we are the one that made him know it. Some of us, the way the internet knows you is very frightening. You know, we sing that song, "He knows my name." Some of us, internet knows your everything. They know they know what you ate yesterday. They know your clothes. There are some of us, if we ask AI, "Please tell me how your soul looks like," they will give you a picture. Why? The information is all over the place. You say, "I'm just celebrating the goodness of God." You don't have to celebrate it that way. You can celebrate the goodness of God to God. The biggest person you should first of all give your testimony to is to who? Because sometimes even testimonies are not testimony. They're a way of show off. I want to let them know. I will let them know. That's the you want to let they have to know. How will they know? In fact, sometimes the testimony, the wristwatch is like this. They need to know that I am a wristwatch. Praise the Lord. The devil doesn't know everything. Do you know why I know he doesn't know everything? How will the devil know that the death of Jesus is the path to salvation and he will kill Jesus? Even you, that you are not devil, in your little you, you won't go and kill Jesus if you knew you didn't want salvation. He has been looking for, because God told him in the garden, "The seed of the woman will bruise your head. So he's been looking for the seed of the woman since. He was looking. He thought Moses was the seed of the woman. In those days, he said, "Kill all the children, two and under, all the male." Moses slipped through. Okay, this is not the seed. Look. Every now and then, he's thinking, this is the seed. Joseph, seed. Yeah, this one, seed. That one. No. Then eventually Jesus came. "Oh, you are the seed? Okay, I will take you out." He didn't know that seed of the woman taking him out, in the wisdom of God, God kept the information in plain sight. I'm saying something to somebody, that the devil does not know enough to stop the plan of God. The information is in plain sight. The miracle is in plain sight. While he's watching, while he's wondering, you will come out. He won't see you coming. You will just emerge. You will just bring the miracle, and he will be bewildered and wondering, how did it happen? But Jesus will win over your life. The cross is a complete miscalculation, big error of the devil. And it shows you he doesn't know everything. That the one who made everything still played the devil at his own game, on his own turf. That's why when Jesus rose up, 1 Corinthians 15. He said, "Death, where's your sting? I came to kill you, death. And you, death, you sponsored what I came to do. I use you, death, against you, death. And you were there. And you couldn't do anything. You were helpless." Why? God knows everything. He knows everything. He knows about your marriage. He knows about your children. That is why, because God knows everything, we need to be close to Him. There are too many times we tell people, we relate to things that can't really help us. I know there is a plot of sharing for you to heal, but if you only share with men what you should share with God, you will not see the result only God can give. There are too many times many of us unburden ourselves to people who cannot carry our burdens, that are not burden bearers. The real burden bearer is God Himself. I don't know how many prayer friends that you have, no matter the number of them, but there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That friend, his name is Jesus. And this Jesus knew what to do. He knows what to do. He knows what to do. I don't have a job. He knows what to do. Somebody is threatening me. He knows what to do. He's not clueless. There is a way. There is a way. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He walks in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day. He will make a. He will make. God knows everything. Jesus knows everything. He knows everything. He knows everything. And some people, because they know He knows everything, they feel, then what's the need for prayer? What's the need for pressing into God? When you cannot inform Him, though you cannot inform Him, you can involve Him. Many people think the fact that He's informed means that He's involved. The fact that He's informed does not mean that He's involved. In this story, He knew what to do, but He wanted to still be involved by their own response. He was calling them to join Him. He was in the life room and said, can you meet me in the life room? I want to take you through a challenge. I want to take you to a school. I want you to be involved. Yes, I'm informed, but I'm not involved. The fact that I'm informed does not mean I'm involved. There are too many marriages. God is informed, but He's not involved. You know, Jesus was informed to come to the marriage at the Cana of Galilee. He was informed. The Bible says He was invited, He and His disciples. That was the information. But there was the time there was no wine. And Jesus was sleeping there, cool and calculated. He didn't do anything. Just like in so many lives, Jesus is sitting and it's as if Jesus is not there. Jesus is there. The Lord is there. He has told us that I'm going to be your Shama. I am there. But the fact that I am there does not mean I will manifest myself. So if He is there and He's not manifesting Himself, what do I do? How do I make Him show up and show off? In that story, we saw what Jesus did. One of the things that Jesus did was that Jesus appreciated God or appreciated what was available. Jesus recognized what God was doing or what God has done. How can I bring God on the scene? My recognition. I need to begin to recognize more and more what He has already done. If I'm looking for what He's going to do, I have to start from what He's doing or what He has done. There is no time that God does not have a witness. There is something on the ground. There is something He is already working on. There is something He has already done. And one of the things you can do to that is to recognize and relate to what He's doing or He has done in the way you should relate, with gratitude. It may be small, but be grateful. It may be small, but be grateful. Every day when I come into this church, I'm very, very grateful. Very grateful. We are looking for a bigger place, but sometimes I'm like, God, how did we get here? These two speakers were recently bought. I will sit on it. Nobody's here. I will just be grateful. I'll just be grateful that we can. You know, there was a time to even buy a speaker like these speakers. Let me just leave them as they are sitting out there, cool and calm. There was a time, if they told us that we'll buy this speaker in 1 year, we'll be very grateful to God. To now buy two, as if we are buying, what do you call it now? Candies. You think that's a normal thing? Even if we are looking for a place that is way bigger than this, which is in the millions, if we see God do something in the thousand, we recognize it and we are grateful. One of the challenges God has with his people is that they don't recognize his hand. They don't recognize his finger, so they can't see his hand. If you don't recognize recognize God for his finger, there's no need for him to show you another finger. Talk less of his hand. There are too many of us, he has shown us his finger. He gave us something, and you're saying, is this it? Is this all? Is this it? Ah, my mates, what are my mates doing now? What are my mates having now? Is this the time for this one? I'm 30-something years old now. Is it the time for this kind of thing? If you know when my mates have been having the thing, they started having it when they were 28 years old, when they were 27 years old. We bless God for your mates, but you are not your mate. I know I said you are we, but you are not that we. You are just your own we. Recognize and give thanks. Oh, that man will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wondrous works to the children of men. He has broken. There's a gate of brass he has broken. Do you know many of you? He has broken the gate of brass. You are sitting in Chicago. There was a gate of brass that he broke before you sat down here. He has broken the gate of brass. Cut the bars of iron in sunder. The one that is remaining is not as big as the one that has been done. Recognize and be grateful. You know, they could have brought 5 loaves and 2 fish to Jesus and you would say, ah. You people have started doing comedy. Yeah? How do you get from 5 loaves, 2 fish to 5,000 people? I told you, give them something to eat. I thought what you would do is that you are going to tell every 5,000, all of them, that's say, public service announcement. Every one of you, I want you to bring your food. No matter how small. But you have 5,000 or something. How do you start from one boy's lunch? Kids meal, kids menu. The parents here will understand now. Kids menu. You want to use it to feed 5,000. One man, one kids menu will not be enough. Because we are men, we are the one that we are many. Because every time a man is eating, and I'm speaking to wives now that may not understand, or mothers that may be wondering, why is my son eating like this? We are many. You know, in Africa, they call a man, three men. In some part of Africa. All right. So Jesus could have said, excuse me. This food will not feed a lot of people. But Jesus recognized that no matter how small, if I am ungrateful, it will become smaller. Ingratitude doesn't make it bigger. It makes it smaller. Complain does not make it bigger. It makes it smaller. It makes me smaller. In fact, it now makes God smaller in your eyes. That song that says, I have made you too small in my eyes. You can make God small in your eyes. Oh. The omnipotence of God will become impotence. Because you made him small. He said they limited the Holy One of Israel. They put brakes on him. It is possible to put brakes on God. In Mark chapter 6 verse 5, the Bible said Jesus could not do a lot in his hometown. Why? They didn't recognize. Because one of the ways you show that you recognize the hand of God, what God is doing, is you honor. You honor. You have this respect. You have this celebration. You have this reverence for what is happening. You don't commonize it. You don't commonize it. Jesus did not commonize that experience. 5 loaves and 2 fish. There are too many of us. Why we are not seeing the omnipotence of God is that we have commonized what God is doing. What is this? What are these among so many? What is this? I'm looking for green card. What is this message that I'm learning for Pastor E today? What is it to give me a green card? It's enough. I'm telling you, it's enough. Yeah, sitting with it, it's enough. Because the word can become flesh. The Bible said in John chapter 1 verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was with the Word. It says, and this Word, in verse 14, became flesh. That means that the Word, if I get a Word, not even anything tangible that is, I can hold, if I even get a Word, it is enough. Do you know some people have come to church today, all they need is just a Word. The sower sowed the seed, and the seed is the Word of God. What I'm telling you today, it can give you an exam result. What I'm saying this morning, it can affect your womb and you can have a baby. What I'm saying this morning is enough for God to move you from the back of the line to the front of the line. The Word can become flesh. But it starts with this honor, this recognition, this appreciation. You see the word, that word appreciation? Anything you appreciate, appreciates. It becomes better. It becomes good. You appreciate people, they move up to that level. You appreciate God, it becomes bigger. You know when you say, magnify the Lord with me. Can you really magnify God? You can't make him bigger. He owns everything. He's bigger than you. You remember, he's the omnipotent. He's the omnipresent. He's the omniscient. So, really, you can't do anything to him. But you can, in your own eyes, he can become bigger. I have made you too small in my eyes. Oh, Lord, forgive me. I have believed in a lie that you were unable to help me. But now, oh Lord, I see my wrong. My heart, and show yourself strong. And in my scapite, fakapari, patayalala. Oh Lord, be magnified. That's our cry this morning, oh God. Be magnified. Appreciate God for the little. Bless God for the day of one meal. The day of many meals will come. Bless God for the days of one pair of shoes. The day of multiple pairs will come. My grandmother, I can still remember today. I went to meet her those days. And I had this shirt. I wore that shirt every other week. And I had washed it. These were the days I wore, you know. Some of us grew up in the economy of when you wash with your hands. I'd washed this shirt and the collar had given way. And I went to meet her. I said, where is God? You know, I'm like almost complaining. And she said this to me. I can never forget it. I see Jesus. She said, there is a day coming. You have more than enough. Shirt is not a problem. I mean, there are days, months. They will always, you can never almost come to my closet and not find a shirt that I've never worn. And many of them never make it to be worn. From gift to gift. From I buy it new to I give it like that. There's no time to wear it because there are more shirts than time. There are more shirts than days. But thank God, I did not allow, somebody came, like I've come today, to tell me that there's another day coming. Just appreciate today. Today is a step towards the best, but this is not the rest. This is not the end. It's a step towards the best. I appreciate the day of little beginning. I appreciate the day of small things. Oh, fear not, little flock, for it is the will of the Father to give you the kingdom. Despise not the day of little beginning. Ah, for your latter end shall greatly increase. Despise not the days of little beginning. Victory House, despise not the day of 4352 West Parker. For a day is coming. Even the children's church, their stage will be bigger than 4352. But we celebrate God for the days of little beginning. We are grateful. We will celebrate God as if this is all God wants to do. Because this is enough to celebrate God for. Let me tell you this. Let it be that you are giving thanks from one miracle to another miracle. Never be this person. Where's the next thing? What is the next thing? What will he do next? No. Thank him from one breakthrough to another breakthrough. Let it be that Amos 9:13 is fulfilled in your life. The Bible says the sower and the reapers will meet themselves. And that can happen in your life when you introduce rejoicing. Because rejoicing is what will make your sowing and your reaping to merge together. So the seasons will be shortened. Appreciate God. You look at your children. There's something you don't like. But find what you like and celebrate God for them. You walk into their room. Thank God they have a room. Some of us didn't grow up with a personal room. There are many, very many little things that I thank God for. Sometimes I sit in my living room. I say, only me? Only me? You gave me only this? There are some people who say, do you know my level? Do you know? I know my own level. I know my level. God brought me this far. And when I sit in places, sometimes I go to church. Sometimes I go and preach for somebody. And I see protocoling me the way me I used to protocol people. And I say, how did I get here? And I'm grateful again. And I say, God, I'm thankful. I know that you brought me here. I didn't bring myself here. It is not one man. It is not one woman. It is not even what I have to say. What do I have to say? In the days of AI, there are many things that can be said. What do I have to say? It's God that brought me here. And I'm grateful. I'm speaking to somebody this morning. Don't make it all about excuses and complaint. What God did not do. What about what God did? What God did. My soul will magnify the Lord. My spirit will praise his name. What has he not done for me? He has not made me mad. Some of us will have lost our mind. What the devil meant was not what just happened. The headache was not what. He wanted to take away your mind so that completely you'll be useless. He was coming completely for you because the thief never comes to only steal. He comes to steal. He comes to kill. He comes to destroy. Even if he has killed, he wants to destroy. He wants it to look like you never came. But God. It is not unto us, oh God. It is not unto us. But to your name give glory. But to your name give glory. You are the one. You are the reason. You are the support. You are the help. You are the one behind us. You are the wing beneath our wings. We are flying not because of our strength and our wings. There is a wind. There is something that undergirds. There is something that covers. There is something that carries. You are carrying me. You are carrying me. You are carrying me. We had a vigil here. I told some people some part of this story that I said I will say. I think one day I will say it in a more concise way. But I was waiting longer than my wait should be. You know, I had green card and I was waiting. And many days I will come. I will come to church. Sometimes before I even come to church, somebody will text me, God has done it. And I was waiting. But I was still grateful. Many times when I come to church, I'll still be very grateful that God, you even did the one you did. I'm still grateful. And when God turned the captivity of Zion, because I was already in the midst of gratitude, gratitude met gratitude. I'm saying this to you this morning, that if you find yourself in any tight spot, there's something you can do. In all things, give thanks, because this is the will of God. Concerning you. There's something you can do. When you don't know what to do, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Give thanks. Because give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because it's given. Jesus Christ. His son, give thanks with a grateful heart. I give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because Jesus Christ. All right, let's leave it there. Amen. I appreciate God for the little. Let your songs be more than your supplications. Let your singing be more than your asking. You are not weak when you sing. You are not weak when you rejoice. You are not careless when you rejoice. No, you are not. You just know how to hand it over to him. Because the next thing you do, when you find yourself and you want God to show up more and more, when you are grateful to God, is to look to him and not to things. Look to him and not to things. Look to him and not to things. Because he himself knows what to do. Look to him and not to things. Don't look at the situation. Don't look at the circumstances. Don't consider the situation. Look to him. How did Abraham move from father of no nation, no child, to father of nations? He looked to him. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4, from verse 16, he said, he considered not his own body. He didn't look to himself. He looked to him. He considered not his own body, now dead, but he judged. He was looking to God. He was looking to him. Because when it comes to things not working, the best person to look to is to look to him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible says, why we look not on the things that are seen. No, that's not what 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says that we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. So what do you do, my brothers, when you want to see the omniscience of God show up more and more? You recognize that God is at work. You are grateful for it. You honor what he's doing already. And then the next thing you now do is that you look to him. You look to him more and more. The more you look at him, the more you will look like him. They looked unto him and their faces were lightened. The more you look at him, the more you become. Look to him. Remember when there was the serpent beast in the wilderness, the Bible said a snake was lifted up. It says, and as many as looked to that snake, they were made whole. Look to him. Not look at it. Not look at it. Not look at things. Because that's what many people do. The reason the omniscience of God, omnipotence of God, many times is not happening. Your consciousness is more about things than him. Invest in your consciousness of him. If a song will help you, go ahead for that. If listening to a message will help you, do that. If coming to the assembly of the brethren like this will help you, of which it will help you, do that. Why? The more you look at him, the more those things will become small. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and praise. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Look at him. Look at him. Just look at him. Look at him. Like they looked at the serpent, and everyone that looked to the serpent was healed. That is how we have to look to him. You have to look at him. And the more dangerous things are here, the more you look away and look at him. The more scared you are, look at him. The more in a very desperate situation you are, then you desperately look at him. The more you have a deadline and that deadline is knocking at your door, when you were coming into this service, you knew that that deadline is here. The more you look at him, you look at him. Because all those who look to him will never be put to shame. Let me tell you one thing that God will do is that he will not put you to shame. Oh, if you look to a government, if they will put you to shame, they will fall your hand like some people will say. They will mess you up. They will mess you up big time. But when you look to him, he will never fail. So what do you do, my brothers? To make him show up more and more, look at him. The more you look at him, the more he will show up. God likes to be the attention, the focus. If you make him the focus, he will make you the focus. If you focus on him, that's why the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Every other thing will be added. The reason why they have to be added after you have looked at him is because he wants you to know that those things are small compared to me. Don't put me at the level of material things. I'm bigger than that. I'm bigger than the green card. I'm bigger than the citizenship. I'm bigger than the marriage. I'm bigger than anything you are looking for. I'm bigger. Make me bigger. Focus on me. Look at him. Look at him. Why did he tell them? Bring the loaf to me. It's so that everybody will be looking at him. I can imagine when they brought the 5 loaves and 2 fish. You can imagine. Pin drop silence. What is going to happen today? We shall see what we shall see. So everybody stay in tune. Bring my popcorn. I have to watch this movie.
and they were looking. Some of you, you have to do like that with God. You have to just say, is it that you or you? Is it that you sure or you sure? I will look at you. I will wait for you. I will not find an alternative rope. You are enough. And finally this morning, if he knows what to do, I appreciate him. I praise him. If he knows what to do, I look at him, not things. If he knows what to do, I present it to Jesus. I present the matter to Jesus. I give it to Jesus. They give it to him. They give him the problem. Do you know, as simple as this is, many people are not giving him the problem. They are still carrying it on their head. They have entered a car. They were standing carrying something on their head, and somebody gave them a lift and gave them a ride. They entered the car and still put their load on their head. So the car has not given them any leverage. Why? They are still carrying it themselves. There are many people that are still carrying their burden. They are carrying their load. They are holding it so tight to their chest. They will give it to Jesus on Sunday morning when we sing some of those songs, I surrender all. But as soon as they leave the place, they'll pick it up again. How do they pick it up? Pick it up is what they say. Because the Bible says, take no thought, saying, Matthew chapter 6, 25. You take thoughts by saying, and any thought you left in the hand of God when you were singing and saying, and you take again by another thought, by another word, you have taken it away from him. So you are giving him that child that was disturbing you, and you left this place, and you say, this child will not kill me again. You have taken back the care. You have taken it again. And God is saying, give it to me. You are not good enough. You think you are good enough. You think it's all the books you read. Let me tell you, after everything you have done, there will still be a gap. There's a gap in every life, in every equation that only God comes in and fills. There's a gap. So if I know there is a gap, I will not overdo things. I will quickly leverage him. I will be responsible. You know, we talked about the responsibility angle last week. But I will understand that I have to give it to him. I will give him. I will give him my time. Because my times are in his hand. When I give God my life, he will take care of me. He will never let me down. He will never mismanage my life. Oh, he can't mismanage your life. Men can mess you up. But I'm telling you, he will mess you up. You present it to Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cared for you. Present it to Jesus. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6. But in everything, by prayer, give it over to him. Hand it over to him. When I'm stressed, I pray. I hand it over to him. I cry. I pour it out to him. I cry. I show emotions. But I'm making sure that I'm handing it over to him. We're handing it over to Jesus. Let's close with this scripture, Psalm 27 and verse 13. When it comes to God, he knows what to do. What are these among so many? He knows what to do. And if he knows what to do, I will recognize and be grateful to him. If he knows what to do, what will I do? I will look at him. I'll look at him in prayer. I'll look at him in praises. I will look at him in the way I act. My action will show that I'm looking at him. I will look at him. And what will I do? When I know that he knows everything, I'll present things to him. I will make sure that I tell God about it first before I tell any other person. Because he knows my name. Because he knows more than anybody. And he can help me more than anybody. Verse 13 of Psalm 27 says, I would have lost heart unless I believed I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. If you are hearing me this morning, you have not seen the best yet. The best has not happened yet. The best has not been written yet. There is still something ahead.
I can tell you without mincing words, there's glory ahead. Because God said, say it to the righteous, it shall be well. It shall be well. I don't know what happened yesterday. I don't know what happened last week. I don't know what happened 1 year ago. I don't know who disappointed you. But I've come this morning to present to you the omnipotent God. I've come this morning to present to you the ever-present one. The one that calls himself, I am there. I've come this morning to present to you the omniscient one, the one that knows everything. And he's saying to you that in the name of Jesus, you will still see the good of the land. You are in a land flowing with milk and honey. You will enjoy the honey in the land. You will enjoy the good of the land. If you believe it, stand on your feet, because God is for you, because God is with you, because God is working with you. Why not express that in prayer? Why not ventilate? Let there be a response to this word that you have heard this morning. Alande perokoso porokoto. He won't mismanage my life. He won't mess up my life. He will take care of me. God is working for me. Yes. Ramamba porosipelika. Ritela parusha talayada. Thank you, Father. Oh, my God. God is able to do just what he said he will do. He's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God, 'cause he